Well, today we're thrilled to have you. For those of you who are at the retreat this weekend, of course, you've already had a chance to meet our guests. But for those of you who haven't never met our guests before, we are really, really excited to have some great friends of our church. Now, one of the things I love about this couple, they are pastors in Bakersfield, California, fellow Foursquare pastors. Now, a long time ago, they spoke into my life and spoke into my wife's lives. Every time we see them, they're always just speaking over us and speaking encouragement. I love being around people who are positive. I don't know if you know that or not. I love being around people who are positive. If you're a negative person, you're probably not going to be around me very, very long, because I love around people who like to speak positive things, and they are people who speak life. They like to encourage other pastors, and they have a heart to encourage and speak life over other pastors. They have a tremendous church out there. They've been there for over 25 years. They've seen it grow for just a handful of people to turning that thing around, and they average over 2,500 every week out there, had over 4,000 last week at Easter Sunday, run multiple campuses and multiple services. And so we are really thrilled to have them here today. And I want you to put your hands together and welcome our friends and our guests, Pastor James and Lydia Ranger. Yes. And Lydia's going to come, and she's going to bless us in song. And just in case you don't know it, like we say here in the South, this girl can sing, right? This girl can sing. She did a song Friday night by, who was it?
Etta James.
Etta James. At last. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. She sung that song, and all the girls just melted in the room. The rest of the marriage retreat was just like heaven. Hallelujah. But it was good. We're glad she's here today. She's going to open up with a song. And then just come and share with us today, Pastor.
Well, good morning. I already feel like I know all of y'all, because I got to meet a lot of you at Couples Retreat, and you guys are just a great church. I tell you, I could take y'all home with me. Y'all are awesome. And no, this isn't a California accent. I was raised in Arkansas. And, my husband took me to California. We arrived on my 20th birthday. Happy birthday to me. You know, I'd been raised in Arkansas, never been out of Arkansas until I married this man. And he takes me, and I'm thinking, you know, Beverly Hillbillies, you know. And so I'm thinking we're going to like a Beverly Hills place. And when I wake up in Bakersfield, California on my 20th birthday, there is nothing alive around me. Everything is brown. It's the desert. And so it's in the middle of the summer. And I thought, this man has brought me to hell itself, because there is nothing alive here. It's all burned up. And, but thank goodness it got better. And, I love being there and love where God has taken us. How many of you know that God has a calling for all of our lives? He does. Every single one of us. And our job is to simply say, God, here am I. Send me. I did this at the retreat, and a lot of you already know it. So when you come to the course, sing along with me. It's real simple. Here am I, Lord. Send me. We'll keep this praise going, huh? Go ahead.
Here am I.
That's my son singing. He wrote this song.
Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Never thought that I could be someone. Oh, how your grace restored my life. here am I. Lord, send me. Oh, here am I. Lord, send me. Here am I.
Amen. They did a good job, Lydia. Now, Lydia, I want to say you bragged on your son Jim for writing the song, right?
Yeah.
And then James actually played keyboard on that track, because you didn't know that. She never mentions that part of it, does she?
I didn't. Sorry, babe.
Right. Also, I was going to mention,
it's
this is such a musical family that their son Jim also was on American Idol. He was on down to the Hollywood Week, down to the Final Cut twice. And so if you're interested, you can go on YouTube and you can Google it later, Jim Ranger, American Idol, and you'll bring up some of his auditions. You'll see him there. But we're thrilled to have him. Pastor James, you did such a great job in the first service. Come back and speak into us again this service.
Thank you, Gene. Hey, I want to say something about this pastor of yours, him and Melody both. I love these guys. Love their spirits. Love their hearts. They love Jesus. They love you. And you know you're privileged to have them, don't you? I mean, honestly, I go all over the country. I go all over the world. And I meet a lot of pastors, a lot of churches, Gene. And what I sense here is not normal, and it's a in a good way. I mean, in a good way, in a good way. And the other thing is, I got to be honest with you. I'm in church, and got to be honest. Look at these jeans. Look at those jeans. Now, look at my jeans. These are ordinary. But I have cool jeans. I do, just like that. But I've been jealous all during both services. I look at this. Dude, those are cool. But I got fat over the last year, and I can't fit into my cool jeans, so I had to buy these normal jeans. But I'm going to lose weight. Next time I see you guys, I'm going to be 15 pounds lighter, and I will be sporting cool jeans. All right? I'm just telling you. Just telling you. Well, good morning. I am so honored to be with you, and I mean that. I've been looking forward to this ever since Gene invited us to be with you, and it's a privilege. To be here. Had a great time at the marriage retreat. you guys got some fun people in this church. I mean, I knew from the beginning. They had this game at the start, and I won't describe it to you, but it was a game, and what's said in the mile stays in the mile, but it was so much fun, and where's Tom at? Where's Tom? He's back there somewhere, walking down the aisle. Oh, there he is. He's another cool dude, and yeah, anyways, we had a lot of fun, and so thank you for letting us be with you. I want to spend a few minutes giving you, I hope to be a word of encouragement and hope to you. How many of you would say I could use a little bit of hope, a little encouragement today? How many of you would say the person beside you needs a lot of it right now? Yeah. To give you context, I normally don't talk a lot about the church I'm from and where we get to serve, but because of where you guys are at in your journey, been going about 8 years. You're looking to build a brand new campus out on 11 acres. That is so exciting. Yeah, that is so exciting. And so when I come in here, I'm just telling you, I feel the same life, the same energy of the Holy Spirit that I feel at New Life Center in Bakersfield. And as Pastor said, we've been there 25 years. And I'll give you a little bit of context of our journey, because I want to talk to you today about expecting the best. Expect the best. In 1988, Lydia and I came to New Life Center. I was 27. She was 24. We had 45 people our first weekend. The church had gone through a church split. It was very devastated. And God began to move in the church and give grace and life to it. And over the last 25 years, last year was the 25th anniversary as lead pastors. Over the last 25 years, the church has grown to 2,600 a weekend. Lots of people come to faith all the time. Last weekend, Easter weekend, it was fun. We did 8 services. 8. So this is vacation today. This is vacation. I'm going to get done with this service. Let's do another one, you know. But we did 6 English, and we did 2 in Spanish. We had a Spanish venue. and gloria a Dios, right? So, anyways, and last weekend we had over 4,500 in attendance, and this is the greatest thing. 241 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Now, if there's one thing that, if you said, James, what is the one thing, if you were to say, this is the theme over the last 25 years at New Life, what would it be? I would say it boils down to this. New Life Center, as a church, we expect the best. Our church family is a place of faith and hope and optimism, and I sense the same thing here. It is why, one of the reasons why, God is blessing you. He's smiling on you because this is a place of dreams. This is a place of hope and optimism. I want to read to you a scripture. In fact, I want you to read it with me. It's up on the screen or in your outlines. And this has been kind of the theme verse for the last 25 years. So let's read it out loud, would you? Together, ready, go. God is able to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God can do super abundantly above all that you would ask or dare or hope for or dream for. Here's what I want you to hear. Jesus said these words, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, in other words, it's all about faith. It's God is going to bless you as much as you expect him to. Over the next 7 days, how much is God going to bless your family? How much is God going to bless you at work? How much is God going to bless you? According to your faith. He will bless whatever you're expecting him to bless. So very quickly, I want to give you an acrostic of the word expect. How can you expect the best in your life? And this is a word to you as an individual, but it's also a word to this church family. The E. The letter E stands for exchange my problems for God's peace. Exchange my problems for God's peace. How many of you have noticed that when you start trying to play God, when you try to control the uncontrollable, it wears you out and you tend to get pessimistic. You start to lose hope. You start to become pessimistic about life. On the other hand, whenever you give God your problems, they're bigger than you are, you exchange them for God's peace. All of a sudden, your spirit is full of hope. Your spirit is full of optimism again. For 25 years, we've been telling folks at New Life, there are two approaches to life, and you get to choose which path you're going to take. One approach is the pessimist, the person who just doesn't have hope, doesn't believe, the person who lives life by fear rather than faith. Then the other path that you can choose is the pathway of optimism, an optimist. You choose to believe the best. You choose to have faith when maybe everything inside of you is telling you don't have faith. It's amazing to me how pessimists will always believe the worst. In fact, when you're doing something and you fail, you make a mistake, you fail, the pessimist will say to you, well, what did you expect? What did you expect? Because that's the way they live life. I expect bad things to happen, so bad things happen. And then when good things happen to a pessimist, they're surprised. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. I am a real believer in this, and that is your attitude of faith and hope and optimism can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Or the other is true. If you believe the worst and you're always thinking negative, that too will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. All the time I hear people say this phrase. They say, individuals say it, churches say it. Well, I don't think that can happen. I just don't believe that can happen. Well, it won't. Or then I hear somebody say, you know, yeah, I believe that can happen. I hear churches say that all the time. New Life has been saying it for 25 years. This church family is saying it. People said, you know, back a few years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, we were at three services. We could have just stayed where we're at, capacity, you know. And somebody says, well, why don't we buy a new facility and, you know, enlarge and go to the next level? And we all said, yeah, Jesus said yes, so let's do it. Why not? I believe we can do that. So we bought a facility that 6.5 acres, and we had no money. But how many of you know just because you don't have any money doesn't mean you shouldn't go for God's dream? We have a wealthy daddy. Papa's wealthy. And he says, according to your faith, it will be done. So we went over, we bought this piece of property, and fast forward, today we sit on the 6.5 acres, and it is debt-free, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So I need to exchange my problems for God's peace and believe and hope the best. It's what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul had some problems. In fact, look at the scripture that's on your outline. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. We were crushed and overwhelmed. Anybody feel that way today? And saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God. For he can even raise the dead, and he did help, and we expect him to do it again and again. Again and again. We expect him. Everybody say, I expect God. I expect God to do great things in my life. He will do it. That's the letter E. The X is X out negative words. X out negative words. X out negative thoughts in my life. Ephesians 4:29. Let's read this out loud. Ready? Go. Don't use harmful words in talking. Use only what kind of words? Helpful words, the kind that build up. So I have to consciously choose to X out negative words from my vocabulary and X out negative thoughts from my mind. And that is a choice. I get to choose that. And I believe this with all my heart, that as we begin to X out the negative words, the negative thoughts of our lives, it will increase our ability. My expectancy affects my ability. Would you say that with me? My expectancy affects my ability. My wife, Lydia, we mentioned that at the marriage retreat. I call her my Lakers girl because she has sang the national anthem for the Los Angeles Lakers 21 times. 21 times. And the good news is, it's really good news, every time she sings the anthem for the Lakers, we get 4 front row seats. So it's awesome that she's singing it, but it's awesomer that we get 4 front row seats. So honey, keep singing. Sing, baby, sing, right? But let me tell you how, by the way, would you like to just see a little clip of her doing the national anthem for a second at a Lakers game? Let's watch it.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. Good job. Good job. Anyways, that's fun, isn't it? Well, let me tell you how she got this gig, all right? The Lakers came to Bakersfield for a preseason game, and they were looking for somebody to do the national anthem. So they had tryouts. Lydia hears about it, and because she is one of the most optimistic people you'll ever be around, she said, why not? I'll go try. So she goes to, let me back up. It's her day off, and on Lydia's day off, she does not look cute like she does now. She wears her bumming clothes. She'll wear overalls, a t-shirt, and then she'll pull her little, no makeup, no jewelry, and pull her little ponytail, make it, that was kind of cute, pulls it through the little hat, you know, and that kind of thing. Anyway, she's out running around doing some errands, forgets that the tryouts are happening that day, and this is the way she looks, right? She's, oh, well, why not? I'll go try anyways. She walks into the arena, the guy says, go for it. So she grabs the mic, and she sings about 6 words, and the guy says, hey, can you be here at 6 o'clock? And Lydia said, well, sure, why not? She thought he meant if you get it. She started walking away, and the guy said, No, you got it. You're it. So she calls me. She's all excited. And that night, she gets out there on the floor, sings the national anthem, and just slays it. It was just wow. By the way, that's my wife, you know. And so Lydia just, she's coming off the floor from doing the national anthem. And Lisa, one of the organizers for the Lakers, says, hey, can you come down to Staples Arena and do it in Los Angeles? And Lydia, no, I don't think I can do that. Oh, are you kidding me? She said, yeah, I'll do it. So it wasn't just a few weeks later until there is Lydia getting ready to walk out on the court. By the way, I was sitting on the front row. The front row. Did I tell you it was the front row? Yeah. Anyways, front row. And Lydia's getting ready to go out, and she's a talker. Lydia can talk, 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 talk. But all of a sudden, before she's about to go out on the court, she goes, shh. She got quiet. I'm thinking, what's wrong? For about 10 minutes before she went out. Then she went out on the court in front of Elite's Best, you know. She's the best of the best there. She walks out there and just, bam, just nails it. She walks off the court. Everybody's applauding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she sits down, and I says, Lydia, help me understand. Why did you get so quiet before you're about to go out there on the court? Here I am, a pastor, and I'm shocked at what she told me. She said, honey, I was praying. Oh, that. She said, I was praying. I was asking Jesus to grace me and to help me and anoint me. By the way, when she walked off the court, nobody knew she was a pastor. Nobody knew she was a Christ follower. But when she's walking off the court, Diane Cannon stopped her and shook her and said, girl, you are anointed. How did she know that? Because you're anointed whether you're singing the national anthem or you're singing here up on the stage. It's a grace, right? And anyways, so I just, here's what Lydia said. I was praying, I was talking to God before I went out there because I want to do my best. And she was doing self-talk that we should all do. She was saying, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. She was saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Listen, if we will X out our negative thoughts and our negative words, our expectancy affects our ability. You want to be your best? You want to expect the best? We got to remove these things from our minds and our hearts. EXP. The letter P in the word expect stands for predetermine an attitude of faith at the start of my day. Predetermine an attitude of faith at the start of my day. Now, it's a proven fact that the first 10 minutes of our day, our attitude being set then is going to determine how it's going to be the rest of the day. So if you wake up grumpy, I just let her sleep. But if you wake up grumpy, you're going to be grumpy the rest of the day. In other words, if you don't change that attitude. Or if I wake up and I set my attitude, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. If I choose to be positive and I choose to believe the best and expect the best at the beginning of my day, it's going to be that way the rest of the day. Now, here's a problem with a lot of people, including Christ followers. Some people have crummy attitudes throughout their day because they start off their day listening to Bad Morning America. Then they open up the newspaper, they read the morning newspaper, and it's 90% bad news. Then they commute to work or to school, and they're listening to talk radio or to news, again, and it's 90% bad. Then they come home, and before they go to bed, they're listening to more bad news on the evening news, and then they go to bed and wonder why they have nightmares. I say it's better to wake up in the morning and to set your heart right by getting the Word of God in your heart. Read the Scriptures. Read the Bible. Listen to some great worship music. Get a CD of Lydia's or somebody else and play that thing over and over again at the beginning of your day. Why? Because it sets your affections on things above. It gets your heart centered and you begin to believe the best, not the worst. So predetermine at the beginning of my day, today I'm going to expect the best. Tomorrow morning when you get up, today, I'm going to expect the best out of my day. EXP, where am I at? E, and I missed this one last service, didn't I? Envision the good in my situation. Envision the good in my situation. Would you read with me Romans 8:28? Ready? Go. For those who love God, who are the called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for what? For good. How many of you know that God can take crucifixions and turn them into resurrections? God knows how to take the bad in your life and make it good. He knows how to do that. So I have to look for the bad in my good situation if I'm going to expect the best. Now, what I'm not talking about is fake optimism. Now, don't raise your hand, but do you know anybody like that? It's fake optimism. It's when they're trying to be optimistic, but they're denying the problem. There's a movement in Christianity. It's just all, if I think the right thing and talk the right thing, there's nothing bad going to happen in my life. That's a lie. Bad things happen to good people, and that's the truth. But in the middle of the bad, I choose to look for what God is doing. I see some optimists who are like that optimist who's falling from, you know, the top of a skyscraper, fell off, and somebody overheard them as they're passing by the 10th floor saying, "So far, so good." No, you're going to die. I'm talking about in the middle of the problem. Some of you are there. You're going through a tough time. In the middle of it, you affirm the truth. You look for the bad and the good. You say, what is God up to? Listen, what is God up to in my life? Because everything is Father filtered. Everything. Nothing passes into our life unless God allows it. So what is God up to in my life? Last year, New Life Center not only celebrated 25 years of history with Lydia and I, it celebrated its 75th anniversary as a church. I'm going to take you back to the beginning. It began because of a problem. A lady by the name of Edith Ferguson saw a bunch of boys and girls who were not going to church anywhere on Sunday mornings, and so she decided, instead of cursing the darkness, she was going to light a candle. She said, I'm going to open up my garage and start a Sunday school classroom. That's what she did. She opened up her garage, and little boys and girls started coming. She invited them, and she filled up her garage full of unchurched boys and girls. Begin to teach them the Bible. And they started getting saved. But guess what happened? Another problem happened. They started bringing their parents. And they started getting saved. And before long, they were out of space in the garage. And Edith Ferguson, instead of saying, that's all I can do. I guess it is what it is. She said, no. Let's go ahead and get a building. And she did. And 75 years ago on that day, Edith Ferguson started Bakersfield New Life Center. And it's there today because a lady had vision. A lady looked at a problem, but she didn't see a problem. She saw solutions. And that's the way God does in your life. He wants you to envision the good in the bad situation in your life if you're going to expect the best. EXPEC, the C, I love this one. Pastor already told you about it. Choose to associate with positive people. Choose to associate with positive people. Now, Pastor, when I was beginning at New Life Center 25 years ago, I'm 27, Lydia's 25, and I was surrounded by a bunch of negative, toxic, mean-spirited people. Now, don't look at anybody right now, but just, you know, there are those people in this world. They seem to always have a negative word. And what I didn't know as a young pastor is that I could choose who was going to be closest to me. I thought that I had to let these people be mean. By the way, why is it always, I know that's not in Joplin, but in Bakersfield it's this way, that it seems to be that those who seem to be the most spiritual sometimes are the meanest people on the planet. I don't know why that is. They prophesy the most, speak in tongues the most, they're the most spiritual, and yet they are just toxic, mean people. Well, these people were getting close to me, and as a young pastor, I had vision, I had ideas and dreams, and they kept, no, you can't do that. Who do you think you, don't get too big for your britches. And about 3 years later, I began to realize this truth, and it was a happy day for me. And I begin to realize that I get to choose who's going to be closest to me. Do you know you can choose who's going to be closest to you? I can choose. And I begin to choose faith-filled, spirit-filled, positive, vision people that believed in God, a big, big God, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to speak life into me as a young leader. And they did. And I begin to limit the amount of people that were negative around me. See, in this world, there are VIPs and VDPs. VIPs are very inspiring people. You need lots of those people around you. But there are VDPs. You know what VDPs are? Very draining people. You need to have one or two as a ministry. But don't have a lot of those people around you because they will suck the life out of you. And if you have dreams, you have visions, you have faith and hope and optimism, they will just suck the life out of you. You get away from, by the way, how many of you know that some people bring joy wherever they go and some people bring joy whenever they go? True? I'm looking for the people who's going to bring the joy, bring the hope, bring the optimism. Listen, Destiny, I believe, and I believe this with all my heart, and the Lord confirmed it today by me being here. When I'm watching, because I've heard through your pastors how awesome you guys are. All pastors say that. It's true. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And man, the first service and this service, and I see the hope, the optimism, the faith in your heart. You love Jesus. You love your community. I mean, the future is fantastic for Destiny. God is going to do awesome things through this church. I promise you. I promise you. If you could get in a time capsule and go ahead 10 years from right now, it would blow your mind what God's going to do through this church. You say, how do you know that? Because there's hope in the house. There's vision. You believe. You believe. I'm just telling you, 80% of the churches in America are just plateaued. They're declining. They're lifeless because they've lost their vision. They've lost their hope. They've lost their dreams. They've lost what the church is about. It's not a social club. It's not about our four no more. It's about people who are not here right now, lost and lonely and needing Jesus and needing what it's really all about. And I feel like this place right here has what this community needs. I believe it with all of my heart. So I say to you, hang out with people who are going to feed your faith. Run from people who are going to give you a toxic spirit. Run from it. Expect the best. The last letter is the T, and that is think about my future. I got a feeling there are a few people here today who are not expecting the best because life has hit you hard, gave you a sucker punch, and some of you have lost your ability to dream. Some of you came here today and because of failure, because of shame, because of discouragement, you just lost that ability to have hope for the future. And your Father in heaven, Jesus, his Son, has sent me here on a mission to tell you that he wants you to dream again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to have hope and optimism again. Think ahead to your future. If you're discouraged and you need optimism, think ahead. Think ahead in two different ways. Think ahead, number one, think ahead to the day that where you're going to stand in front of Christ Jesus himself. The Bible calls it our blessed hope. How many of you know Christ is coming again? He's going to fix this whole thing. He's going to redeem the planet. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will prevail. But on that day of accounting, by the way, we're all going to be there. And it's going to be a beautiful day as Christ followers. Because you're going to stand before Christ by yourself, not with your wife or husband or friend. Or mom and daddy, you'll stand before Christ himself. And on that day, he is going to reward you, listen, for everything you did in this life. Everything you did in this life. Some of our good works, our good deeds will be burned up in the fire because we did the right thing with the wrong motive. We all do that. So it's going to happen. But there's going to be a lot of the good things that we've done in our home, in our families, in our businesses, in our church life. That on that day, Jesus is going to look in your eyes and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's going to reward you with a new assignment in the new heaven and the new earth. That is the blessed hope, the Bible calls it, the blessed hope of the believer. That day is coming. And when you get discouraged, you think, nobody sees what I'm doing. Somebody sees what you're doing. The most important person sees what you're doing. God. And he's keeping account of all that you're doing. And one day you will be rewarded. But don't just look forward to the hereafter. Look forward to the future here and now. You see this bracelet I have on? This orange bracelet? It's fancy. It goes with my outfit. With my non-cool jeans. You know what it says? Dream again. 4,000 to 5,000 new lifers wear this all over Bakersfield. Because we wrapped up 25 years and we're so proud of what God's done in the past. But I'm going to tell you something. At New Life, we are dreaming again. Yay, God, for the past. But we've kissed the trophy. We put it up on the shelf. Bye-bye. Now it's on to the next 10 years. What is God saying for the next 10 years of New Life Center? I hear the Lord saying to this church family, hey, listen, your past has been good. It has. It's pretty amazing in 8 years what you've done. Yay, God. But I'm telling you, your best days as a church is yet to come. God's going to do awesome things in your future. But he's going to do, listen, I don't know who this is for, but somebody is here who needs to hear this. You've stopped dreaming. And it may be about your marriage. It may be in a relationship. I don't know. But God is saying to somebody here today, your dreams may have died. But God says, I'm breathing new life into you today. And I'm going to take that has died and I'm going to give resurrection life to it. Expect the best. According to your faith, it will be done to you.
I'm at a loss for words. There's nothing to say. I sit in silence wondering what led me to this place. How did my heart become so lifeless and cold? Where did the passion go? When all my efforts seem like chasing the wind, I've used up all my strength and there's nothing left to give. I've lost the feeling and I'm numb to the core. I can't fake it anymore. Here I am at the end. I'm in need of resurrection. Only you can take this empty shell, raise me from the dead. What I've lost to the world, what seems far beyond redemption, you can take the pieces in your hand and make me whole again, again. You speak and all creation falls to its knees. You raise your hand. Yeah. take this empty shell and raise me from the dead.
So the question today is, what do you expect? Thanks to the answer, I can't answer for you. You have to answer that for yourself today. Are you the person who expects God's best, or say, Pastor, I have a hard time getting up expecting God's best? Well, today I want to say you're in the right spot. Because if you're connected to this body, to this church, we believe in the spirit of expecting God's best. And so this word was right in line with what we believe here at Destiny. We believe in the power of saying, God, we believe and expect your best for our life. So I challenge you, are you going to speak life? Are you going to speak death? Are you going to speak God's best over your marriage, over your children, over your finances, over your job, over your health? Are you going to say, God, I'm believing you for the best? Every time I drive by the property, sometimes I can look at and say, all right, God, my mind can only handle this much, and I want to shrink the vision because of finances. And every time I do that, God continues to speak to me and says, no, Gene, you don't do that. My blessing is not in that. My blessing is when you dream big dreams and you expect me to do something that when people look at that, they say, you had nothing to do with it. It was all God. And that's what I want. God said, God, we want to dream big dreams for our life, for our church, for our family, for our children. We want to dream big dreams, that God has got big plans. And we receive that word today, Pastor. Thank you very much. Today, we're going to close out with a time of worship. And when we do, I want to just challenge you today. We're going to receive an offering here in just a minute for a love offering for our guests. They, of course, have been ministering all weekend long. They minister Friday night and Saturday. We don't charge any extra for that event to make any money off that event. We try to keep it as low as possible so that everybody who wants to attend can afford to go. And today we want to bless them. They haven't asked for a dime. They don't expect anything in return. But we want to go above and beyond, just bless them because they have such a giving heart. I will tell you this story right now. Before Destiny Church had a dime, we were just in the beginning stages, that their church sent my wife and I to help send us to conferences and to training, because they believed in us. When friends were not always out there, now everybody wants to be your friend when your church starts doing good. You know what I'm talking about? But back when I didn't have a lot of friends at that time, people believed into us. I remember Gary and Tammy calling them up and saying, hey, we got some church planters who are needing trained, and would your church be willing to sponsor them? And they said, yes, we will. And they stepped up and invested in Destiny Church before we ever had a congregation. So that tells you the heart of these pastors today. And so you guys are so good. We believe in blessing those who God sends our way to minister to us today. So I want you just to bow your heads. Just be very reverent this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me to give today to bless this family? Now, whatever He's speaking to your heart today, I want you to be quick to obey that. During this next song, our ushers are going to pass out the offering bags today, our offering buckets. And as we do, everything you give is going to go 100% into this ministry, just to be a blessing to them. Thank you in advance for your giving to them. It's going to be a blessing. This is good seed. I want to plant good seed into their lives, to the ministry. We want God to bless us. We want that anointing to come back and transfer here, Pastor. So we receive those words spoken to us today. I invite you to stand on your feet. How many know we serve a great God, a big God? We're expecting big things, right? Our God is greater. Come, let's let it ring today.
water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of a blind. It's no one like you. There's none like you.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God.
Sing that again.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God.
All right. How many of you are glad you're in the house of God today? Were you glad to be here? Let me tell you a couple things before you leave. First of all, if you're a guest today, I know you're really upset that I didn't speak. And so next week, I'm going to continue in our theme that we kicked off last week for Easter, our gravity theme. If you notice in all the decor, it has to go with the movie Gravity we kicked off last week. I'll be picking that back up in a powerful message next week. So we invite you to come back then. Remember, tonight's life groups. If you would like to pick up one of Lydia's CDs, she'll have those in the back as well. You're more than welcome to do that. God bless you. Have a great week.